I'm Anita Lustria, and this is Faith Conversations. Today on the podcast, I have Mike Murphy with me. Most of you know Mike is my husband. Hi, Mike.
Hello, Anita.
And Mike, a little different scenario than, well, maybe the same scenario as the last time you joined me. You are now a retired / redeployed pastor.
That's right.
Formerly at Christ Church of Oak Brook.
Just looking to where to be redeployed.
Well, you've been redeployed for sure as a spiritual director, as have I.
Yes, it's
That's
been fun.
That's been exciting.
Yeah, a few people have, I'm doing it via Skype
or
FaceTime,
mm-hmm.
and that's been really fun.
Oh, yes.
And room for more if anybody's really interested in that. I think it's not a bad thing to have in this day and age.
How do they contact you?
Well, they can contact me at mike.anita.murphy@gmail.com.
Okay. Pretty easy.
Pretty
straightforward.
All small letters, you know, lowercase mm-hmm. letters. So it's mike.anita.murphy@gmail.com. And even though your name is on it, you don't access that email.
Mm-mm. So if you email asking me a question there, Mike will forward it to me.
I will forward it.
Yeah.
Or sometimes I'll just answer it in your voice.
Yeah, right. Yeah. No, please tell me you don't.
Not much.
Okay. So anyway, yeah, doing that. And for any of you who want to connect with me for spiritual direction, you can do that by emailing just anitalustria@gmail.com.
Right.
No dots in there at all, just anitalustria@gmail.com. Well, let's see. Before we dive into what we're going to talk about today, the other thing, there's been a change of address. And if you're interested in giving to the podcast, certainly you can write a check and mail it to us. But recently, I kind of got with the 21st century and I have a PayPal account. Some of you are probably going, oh, finally, that's what I'm doing. So you can also give a gift through PayPal. The email address is producer@anitalustria.com. producer@anitalustria.com if you'd like to give a gift that way. If you'd like to mail a gift, you're welcome to still do that.
What's the address for that?
The address is 8 White Oak Terrace, all three separate words, White Oak Terrace, 8 White Oak Terrace, Sarasota, Florida. And the zip is 34237.
You did it.
I did. All right. Well, where are we going to go today?
Well, we've been talking about a lot of things just between the two of us. As a lot of people know, we've made a big transition. We moved from Chicago area down to Sarasota, and we've had a lot of adventures with that.
Yes, we have.
We are spending a lot of time together.
Yes, we are.
Which is very, very good, except when it's not.
Yes. Mostly it's good, but I think you have to figure out and learn new life patterns, and we're in the midst of doing that.
Yes, in a smaller environment.
And, yes.
But it's all good.
Yeah. And so beyond that, today, where are we going to go with the conversation?
Well, we have been talking about what happens to people when they get into a rut in life,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they don't know what to do. And it can be anything. It can be a bad marriage. They can come to an end of a relationship. It's kind of a bad pattern of behavior that they've got themselves into. What is it they can do? What are some real practical things? And we're thinking about doing a little series on this because there's a lot of places to cover.
Yeah, there's a lot to cover under that umbrella. And you have talked extensively to folks about this in, I don't know, I would say the last 10 years or so, because you've worked in a variety of contexts within the church and have had the opportunity to talk about really this overarching theme.
That's right. I think a lot of my work has been in what we called a refocus seminar,
mm-hmm.
which really helped people when they came to the end of a relationship. Mm-hmm. And these days, even in a church setting, relationships are, well, marriages come to an end.
Mm-hmm. It's very sad, but it is a reality.
Mm-hmm. People do enter into long-term relationships and decide not to get married.
Mm-hmm.
That's a reality too.
Right.
That just does happen.
That happens.
And they need healing in mm-hmm. their life.
A spouse passes away, a different kind of ending.
Yeah, all kinds of different things that people are faced with.
Right.
And then how do you go about helping them to get through it in a way that really makes sense?
Well, long-term job that comes to an end, like they're all of those things.
Kinds.
Yeah.
And one of the things we found is that what keeps you in an ugly place is ourselves.
Ooh.
we really don't like the place we're at, but it becomes very, very comfortable. Mm-hmm. And it becomes kind of like this warm place, and we start to decorate it, you know,
that's
and
great.
Invite friends over into the misery that we were decorating.
Great. Oh, that's so true.
Just see what's happening. And part of what I've discovered is a little poem by a gal by the name of Portia Nelson, who is no longer with us. Mm-hmm. And from what I understand, she was a kind of a singer and musician and poet and cabaret artist and all those kind of things. And she wrote a very, very insightful, it's called an autobiography in 5 chapters.
Oh, okay. Let's hear it.
Would you like to hear this?
Yes.
Okay. And now if you're listening, see if you can identify with this at all. I did this for Anita earlier and said she couldn't identify a bit with it. That's not true. She did.
Yeah. Right. Sorry. I wasn't.
Chapter
was
one.
Okay.
I walk down the street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I fall in. I am lost. I am helpless. It isn't my fault. It takes forever to find a way out. Huh. That's chapter one.
Okay.
Okay, Anita, can you resonate with that at all?
Maybe.
Good? Okay. Chapter two, I walk down the same street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I pretend I don't see it. I fall in again. I can't believe I'm in the same place. But it isn't my fault. It still takes me a long time to get out. Huh. Okay.
Okay.
I see you nodding.
Yeah. Yep.
Chapter three, I walk down the same street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I see it is there. I still fall in. It's a habit. My eyes are open. I know where I am. It is my fault. I get out immediately.
Okay.
Right?
Yep.
Chapter four, I walk down the same street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I walk around it.
Nice.
But chapter five is the killer. I walk down another street.
Period. End of poem.
End of poem.
Ooh, I walked. Oh, that is the killer.
It's a poem about recovery.
That's fantastic.
You know, that we don't have to
keep, walking down the same street.
We don't even have to avoid the hole.
Because we can go on down a different street.
But many people don't.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was right there totally with her. I'm thinking, oh, yeah, you just avoid the hole. Never thought about going down a different street.
Yeah. Yeah. Ooh. And it does become a habit. You know,
yes.
The habits are formed at the intersection of skills, knowledge, and desire. You know, when I like to tell the story about one of my sons who was a real good athlete in high school, and we taught him how to make the bed, and we knew he had the skill to do it. I mean, he could walk and chew gum at the same time because he was an athlete. We saw him move well. We knew he had the knowledge to make his bed because he was taught that. Seemed to understand it.
Yeah.
But the missing dimension was the desire.
Oh. Okay.
Right.
It's a good illustration.
A lot of people, they might have the desires, but they lack the skill or the knowledge to be able to do it. And so those are the things that sometimes have to be taught for us. For Christian folks, sometimes people say, well, just pray your way out of it. A lot of times, even Christian folks don't even know how to pray.
Mm.
They've never been taught to pray. They might have the desire, but they don't have the skills or the knowledge and not even sure what to pray about. Not that God doesn't understand our heart. So this is a real important kind of principle.
And I'll even go back to say, pray your way out of it is not the full answer either. That's a part of the answer.
Yes, it is a part of the answer, because usually what we have to do is we have to go through a process in our prayer,
mm-hmm.
where we go deeper in our prayer life than we even thought possible.
Because
a lot of times when we're in these struggles, or when we're going down the same street over and over again, falling into the same hole, there's something that's really limiting us. And oftentimes our prayers sometimes are limiting us, you know, because our prayers are always about, let's see if I can get the other person to change.
I've been known to pray those kind of prayers.
I'm sure you've prayed them about me.
Maybe.
Probably today.
not effective, however. because usually, you know, to your point, it's often not the other person that needs to change. I mean, there might be a piece of that in the puzzle, right? But we can't control that.
That's right.
We are the only person that we have control over. And I think often we don't see our prayer life or those prayers, those outward bound prayers as about us often.
That's right.
And they need to be equally.
And in our faith life, you know, when you look at Jesus, he was always asking people, what did they want? What was their desire? What did they want to see happen? He really wasn't all that interested in what they wanted to see happen to other people.
Hmm.
I mean, he certainly was. I mean, mm-hmm. he went on a journey to heal, you know, someone's son and mm-hmm. all this kind of stuff. But he was just very pointed in having people, let's take a look at yourself.
Hmm. Well, I'm even thinking about Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. When Lazarus died, he didn't go right away.
No.
And while, yes, in the end, he resurrected Lazarus, there was so much about each individual, it was about Mary and Martha specifically, right. and their interactions with him and about their own lives and their own souls that was beyond the issue of you know, having Jesus raise their brother.
That's right.
Yeah, very interesting.
And the more we keep the focus on something or somebody mm. else, we will never get well. God, mm. it's going to be hard for God to get in there and heal.
Huh.
You know, one of the things we told people in the Refocus seminar, we all know that you are here because you've been hurt by someone. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
But starting tomorrow, when we start fresh tomorrow, you are not allowed to talk about that person.
Ooh, really? You do that?
Yes, because if you look around,
oh, okay.
that person isn't here.
Okay.
They didn't come for the healing.
Oh.
One person came for healing, and that's you. And so let's pay attention to you.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. And then we'll start the next morning with a question and saying, why do you think someone chose not to spend the rest of their life with you?
Oh, it's a heavy-hitting question.
It really is. And some people say it's really unfair because some people were really hit very, very hard, you know, through a relationship failure.
Mm-hmm. And I get that. I understand
and
that.
And hurt very badly.
Yes.
But sometimes it comes to grips and say, without piling on, you know, saying, oh, I wonder how I contributed to this.
And the other person might have been the greater perpetrator, but there are always things that we as an individual sure. need to take a look at.
Absolutely right. You know, both of us have been through a relationship failure.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we've both done a lot of good work trying to take ownership of the things that we did in our own lives that precipitated that failure. You know, that no matter what yeah. the other person did.
Sure. Yeah. And it's not easy. Not easy doing that. But I have to say, probably that time period in my life was probably the time period of greatest growth in my life as well.
I think that's what people discover all the time. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things I've always pointed out to people. You are in the pits right now. You feel like you're in this hole. You don't know if there's any way out.
Mm-hmm.
But if you are committed to working this process, you and God,
mm-hmm.
and along with others who are going through it the same way, you're going to find this just might be the time of the greatest growth yeah. in your life.
Yeah. Well, I'm amening that because it was true of me for sure.
And for some people, though, it's not because they just want to stay stuck where they are.
Ugh.
And that's just the hardest place.
Well, because it's hard to address things. It's been interesting for me to realize in recent days that the issues that are coming up inside me just because of making a major move. Now, did they come out of the blue? No, they were there, but you know, this major life transition is bringing it into focus, which I love. That's why you called it refocus.
Right.
as right. well.
Okay. So for Anita, for you, can you name what those issues are?
Well, issues of control, but I don't know that that's at the heart of it. That's how it's manifest. And I think it's underlying fear. I don't think I'm far enough along to name a whole lot of it. I mean, I've shed some tears over it, realizing I'm sad about, really? I'm doing either this again, or these are the issues, or, you know, I think we always do that.
Sure.
Right? But so I'm trying to work through some of that and figure it out. Anytime there's a life change, transition of any kind, we're talking relational transitions here, but often any kind of life shift brings up relational issues that have relational impact. Our lives are all connected.
Oh, they are.
All aspects of it are connected.
But yeah. we all have unresolved stuff that we still have to keep on bringing back
yeah,
to the Lord.
That's
and
what
for
I'm
me,
doing.
It's for me, it's fear and anxiety, and I do a great job of making up things in my head. And they're far greater, you know, they're far more scary than the things that I actually have to face.
Yeah, I know. What, you know, you and I talked about this the other day. I feel like some of these issues are our thorn in the flesh. We read about Paul. I think some of these are what keeps us close to God or what keeps driving us toward God.
Right.
You know, we all desire for it to go away. And sometimes that can happen with addressing things. But sometimes these are recurring issues that never fully go away, but they keep driving us toward God.
That's right. And sometimes we have to take a look at those recurring issues and see and really ask God to go deep with us and healing them. Sometimes when people experience relationship failure, if they're really honest about it, they have been in the midst of relationship failure all their life. And there's been one common denominator in every one of those failures, and that's them.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Now, sometimes when you're a child, some things really are done to you.
Sure.
But there are other things that never get addressed, and we find ourselves with this series of wrecked relationships, you know, behind us and say, well, those people just couldn't keep up with me. Those people were not the right ones. And oftentimes what the truth is, I wasn't the right person. I was not acting in godly ways.
Yeah.
I was more interested in acting in the shadow side of myself. And that's not very pretty. And so then you got to come to grips with all that and say, okay, am I willing to let God heal that?
Yeah, am I willing to enter into a process of personal transformation and growth where we address the deeper issues?
That's right.
Wow. Well, so that's kind of that first question, because you have to be willing to go there.
Right.
And it takes some time. Even when you have done in the past the Refocus workshop, it's not a 2-hour thing and you're done.
Well, no, it's an 8-week kind of experience. And then people really start on a journey of growth. You know, healing is always a choice. Steve Arterburn wrote a book called Healing is a Choice.
It's true.
And I think that's really true. God seems to have healed the people that ask for the healing.
Mm. You and I both recommend this book often, but somehow this popped into my mind right now as a resource to recommend to people that want to get on a good journey of growth, personal growth. And I and you might have a different resource, Mike, which is fine. Trevor Hudson's workbook comes to my mind. Is that a good one to recommend?
Discovering Your Spiritual Identity is one of the better books. It's a workbook. Mm-hmm. It's one of the better workbooks I've ever worked through.
Yeah.
And I hated a lot of it because...
Don't we all?
It's not one of those workbooks where you fill in the blanks and go merrily on your way and then run off to your Bible study and everybody has the right answer.
Yeah. Not so much.
There's been a few times I would just close the book and say, I don't even want to deal with this question. I don't even want to deal with it. I'm not even going to mention it to Anita because she's going to tell me to deal with it because it's really important, because it's a key issue in my life.
You know what? This would be interesting for you and I to go through together. We've each done it with small groups of people.
Oh, yeah. But enjoy.
Okay, or not.
No, it would be. That really could be. Or even find some new friends here
to go through it together. Could be kind of cool.
Because I think it has that power. I think I've been through it 3 times.
Wow. Okay. That's impressive.
And that's what growth does. It keeps you coming back.
So if you forget the name of the book, which is?
Discovering Your Spiritual Identity by Trevor Hudson.
Thank you. I will post that online at anitalustria.com. So don't worry if you don't have a pen handy. So I thought that might be a good resource to mention today.
Right. Well, I think that is. And I think even for people to go online and take a look at that Portia Nelson poem, you know, that we read right at the start, that's a good thing actually to meditate on and think about it and to begin to ask ourselves, am I going down the same street that's causing me a lot of trouble? Am I falling into the same kind of hole over and over again? And what's compelling me to go down that street? What's calling me to that, even though it's causing me great harm and disillusionment? Why am I doing that? And that's something really to bring before God in prayer.
And I'll post a link to that poem as well, so you can find that right on the homepage there on the website at anitalustria.com. One of the things that you often talk to people about has to do with their own personal story.
Right.
Because, well, and obviously the poem begins to illustrate that. It's changing your story.
Right. We are all writing a story, whether we think we are or not. And sometimes we don't like the chapter we're writing. Because sometimes when you go through a change in life, you're pretty angry about it or fearful. So you're in the midst of writing a chapter called anger. But if that's the only chapter you write, it's not a very interesting book. It's really a self-destructive kind of book.
Yeah.
So what does the end of your, what do you want the end of your story to look like? And one of the things I use, a prompt that I used to help people, is I say, why don't you ask yourself, what do you want to be known for?
Oh, I like that. That's a good question. What do you want to be known for?
Now, if you want to be known for your anger at your funeral, if you want everybody to say, hey, my mom died, and man, she never got over being hurt, and she was the angriest woman that I ever ran across in my entire life. And she was motivated by her fear and anxiety. That's not a great story.
No.
I hate to say that, but it's not.
No. And one of the things I appreciate about the question, what do you want to be known for, is it's just going to take a little bit of reflection. I mean, you can probably toss out a couple of quick things, but wait, is that even it? I think you've got to do some serious reflection to make this determination.
Right. Because if I have an idea of what I want to be known for, then I've got to be living those things.
Yes.
Right now. So for me, and I urge people to do it in as few words as possible.
Okay.
And make it their daily prayer.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And then at the end of the day, just use it as a kind of an examine, saying, how did I do?
Okay, sure.
Where did I cooperate with God and where didn't I? So for me, I did it in about 30 words or less. This might be a little bit longer, but I said, what I want to be known for is this. I want to be known as someone who is present to the presence of God, who is available to others, who desires to be in community with people, who remains curious about this world that we live in, and someone who's effective in responding to needs, even my own.
Ooh. Okay.
So that's my prayer. You know, that's my almost daily prayer. Lord, how can I live into this fully? And I have seen God use that prayer to help me to respond to things that come my way during a particular day. And even though when I start resisting it, you know, it's like God said, wait a minute, you said you wanted to be available to others. Here's one of those others.
I like that because for a couple of reasons. One, I like the idea of using it as to kind of do the spiritual discipline of examine at the end of the day and seeing, you know, where God was in the midst of that, etc. But also I like it because it addresses multiple aspects of life, your relationship with others, your relationship with God, and also your relationship with yourself.
That's right.
Which, you know, that doesn't have to all be encompassed in what you want to be known for, but I have to think about that. I like that what you just presented does, and I'll have to think about that for myself.
Right. And I think one of those things is an attitude, curiosity.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
I find people that get into trouble relationally in other places just aren't very curious. They've lost a sense of discovery in their lives. And as a result, they just become really boring.
Self-focused.
Very self-focused.
Too, I would say.
And so they're not curious about what is going on in this world of ours. Why do people think that the way they do? And you can just see that even more recently in our political process, where people just, you know, entrench themselves in what it is they believe. And very few bothered to see what the others were either saying on either side.
Yeah, not good at listening. Good at shouting, but not good at listening. And you're not talking about any particular side or party.
No,
that's everybody.
No, they neglected being curious.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that.
And as
that.
A result, we all of a sudden become very insular kind of people and not very interesting at all.
Yeah.
And interesting people are the ones you want to be in relationship with.
Yeah, you want to be able to be in relationship with people that know how to dialogue, know how to ask questions, know how to think through things, know how to hear, listen, and well as speak.
Well, I'll sit down with people sometimes and I'll say, What are you reading? Well, I used to read the newspaper, but I don't like all the bad news, so I don't read any of that stuff. And I don't like to read books, and I don't watch the news, and I don't do this. And, you know, they're the kind of people that are yelling at kids to get off their lawn. And I don't want to be with those kind of people.
Yeah.
That's in all honesty, because they don't have anything to offer me. Because what are we going to talk about? Their anger? Yeah, I mean, that's all we're going to talk about.
Points 1, 2, and 3 on how to be a grouch, right?
Yeah,
I don't think so.
you don't do that. And so So, you know, oftentimes people say, how do I meet interesting people? And I say, be an interesting
Become an interesting person.
And then you can meet all kinds of folks.
Hmm.
I mean, how many people have we met, Anita, in restaurants and whatnot, just because we've started a conversation with the people at the table next to us?
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden we went, wow, they're really fascinating.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And maybe, I don't know, maybe this is a good place to draw things to a close. This is, we're going to kind of go back to this because I think people, when they're in a difficult spot, in that stuck spot or down in that hole, as the poem said, don't always, they know that it's a long climb out, but they're discouraged because they can't figure out how to get out, or maybe they're part way out and they're wanting to give up. So we need to continue this conversation.
And how to stay out and how to find that new street.
The new street.
You know, that's the thing.
Yeah.
Could it be that there's a street that doesn't have any big holes in it?
Love it.
You know, that you could go down.
You know what? I'm going to ask you to pray. I'm pretty sure, including myself, that there are people listening to the conversation, and I'm in it, that are in a spot like that and that could really use someone to pray here at the end of our conversation.
I'll be glad to do that. And I'd urge people that if they find themselves just something stirring inside them themselves, you know, both Anita and I have said, we're spiritual directors, and we would be happy to help out. Yeah. We can explain what that means, but let me pray.
Well, and also, before you pray, you know, that you just sparked a thought too, Mike. You can go ahead and give your email address once again.
It's mike.anita.murphy@gmail.com.
Okay. And mine is anitalustria@gmail.com. And what I wanted to add to that as well is on an upcoming podcast, we would like to answer your questions. They could be random. They can be, you know, all kinds of questions. Feel free to email those questions to anitalustria@gmail.com, and we'll collect those. And it could be a question for me, for Mike, for the two of us together. It doesn't matter, but I'll collect those questions and answer or try and respond to those questions on a future podcast. So feel free to send those.
I have several I want to send in to you.
Yes, well.
You'll answer them.
Woohoo! All right. So now I'm going to send you to pray for us.
Lord, you know, we've talked about a whole lot of things, and I know full well what it's like to walk down the wrong street, to fall in holes, to be beside myself, not knowing, even knowing how to get out of the hole, and then befuddled when I choose to walk down that same street and walk into the same hole again. And Lord, I know, I just know there's people listening that that's the case for them. Lord, give them the desire. Give them just a deep desire to say no to these actions of insanity, and to say, no, I'm going to find another way to live. There's a way you got for me, God, that's better, that's more life-giving, and I'm going to find it. So may it be so, Lord, may it be so. We pray all this in your name. God's people said, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Mike. Really, really appreciate hearing from you today and having a good conversation. And with that, I'll just say I'm Anita Lustria, and this is Faith Conversations.